Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I'm back again this week, as in every week on Monday at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, to help us let go of fear and get our lives in gear. This week, I am very excited by the synchronicity of the universe, because as I was thinking about today's show, and the life-shifting lesson that I've been living this past week, I realized that the tip that I wanted to share with everyone is amazingly, beautifully aligned with the message that my guest is going to bring to us today. So I am always in awe of how the universe comes to support us when we are at that moment where we want to wake up and listen to the lessons. So today's life-shifting lesson, before I bring on my amazing citizen of the world guest, is to think about what I'm going to call the difference between relationship or conscious networking and transaction networking. So today we're going to talk a little bit about when you're building your business or you're building your brand, and you reach out to people and you do the networking thing, how do you do it? Do you do it in a transaction-oriented way, or do you do it consciously? Do you build relationships and connections with real people? And the reason that this theme came up for me this week is that I went to a couple of events where there were networking opportunities, and I had those experiences that I think we've all had where someone comes up to you, introduces themselves, and just hands you a business card, and then says, would you mind if I give you a call or send you an email and talk to you about my services? And that happened to me a couple times this week, and I was kind of taken aback. And I received these emails and these phone calls, and I have to say, I was reluctant to respond. And I've been thinking about it. And so the lesson that I'm learning this week is to step back and think about how you're doing your networking. Because what was missing in those transactions with those wonderful people who were very well-intentioned was they didn't take any time to find out about me. They didn't ask me any questions. They didn't ask me who I am or what I need or what's challenging me. They were just very quick to hand me their card and ask me if they could follow up and obviously try to sell me something. And I think in today's world where we use social media and Twitter and email and all the networking events that we go to, there's a tendency on all of our part to get very shorthanded about our networking and to think that it's a very simplistic process of just handing out your business cards and calling people up or emailing them or sending them to your website. So I want to share with you that I would have been really happy to follow up with these folks if they had just taken a little extra time to find out about me, to ask me what I'm looking for, what I'm in need of, where I might be able to help them, or where they could potentially help me. And it was missing from the conversation. So today's theme for my life-shifting lesson of the week is, when you're networking, be a conscious networker. Be a relationship builder, not just a transactor. And in that light, I'm very excited to transition to my conversation today, because my guest, who is, as she calls herself, a citizen of the world, is actually a specialist in this area of spiritually conscious marketing. And I am totally excited to have her with me. I think we're going to have a great conversation. And I want to invite you to join us over the next hour, so feel free to connect with us and call in. The number to call in is 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. Or feel free to contact directly with us online, where we'll take your questions and comments through the website at transformationtalkradio.com. And so if you have a question or a comment, feel free to ring us up or drop us a note. We'd love to hear from you. And now I want to introduce and bring my guest on to the show. Her name is Lynn Serafin. And as I said, Lynn is a specialist in, I think, what we're going to call conscious or spiritually oriented marketing. And on top of that, she's also a best-selling author and a transformation coach and has her own company helping others to promote and share their wisdom of their books and their services in consciously awake ways. Her upcoming book, I think she has a book coming out in the next few months, is actually directly connected to this theme. It's called The Seven Graces of Marketing: How to Heal Humanity and the Planet by Changing the Way We Sell. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that. And also her other recent book, whose best-selling, it's on the shelf currently, called The Garden of the Soul: Lessons from Four Flowers That Unearth the Self. So welcome, Lynn. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Oh, Jeffrey, that was a moving introduction. Thank you. And I couldn't, I was buzzing with things I wanted to say. In your story, there's just so many parallels with what I've been talking about lately and what I'm hearing, you know, is on people's minds. And we're going to have a great discussion. So thank you for asking me today.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm very excited to have you. And every week I try to think about what's happening to me and my clients during the week to kind of bring up a theme or a lesson for us to be learning as we shift our lives away from fear and into high gear. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of conscious marketing, of relating to each other, not so much in transactional ways, but in real connecting ways, came to my mind.
Yeah.
And then I noticed your background. So jump in here and share us a little bit about how you came to be this kind of marketer.
Well, I call myself an accidental marketer, and I'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes. But I kind of want to jump on that word fear that you just mentioned with regards to the story you told about being in the networking thing. And I so get what you're talking about, because when I first started my practice as a coach, I went to so many networking events and had that same experience, exactly the same experience. It's such a put off. And actually you're even groomed in some of these networks to do that. You're groomed for quantity, not quality, so to speak. And I do want to jump on the word fear here, because not jump on it, but embrace it and mention it. Poor fear. You know, I don't want to jump on it.
Right.
Just to say that, you know, this person, and this is really what I'm discussing in the book, we don't want to demonize people who are in that place. We tend to demonize the schmoozers and the, you know, and the pushy people and the cold callers or whatever. Actually, when people are acting from that place, it's my observation that they're acting from a place of fear. And the place the fear that they are experiencing is basically a fundamental belief of two things. And these are really the two of the foundations of the book, Seven Graces of Marketing. The two key things are, number one, that we are disconnected. That's the fundamental misconception, that we are disconnected entities, that we are in some way not related to each other. And that's there. And when you're in that fundamental belief, you are going to be fearful, because you don't feel supported.
Right.
And so it's not just disconnected from each other. It's disconnected from source. It's disconnected from ourselves, from all things divine, from everything. So disconnection is at the foundation of that. And then the other thing is a fundamental belief in scarcity, which if you look at the history of marketing and even modern economics, because in researching this book, I was absolutely, utterly astounded, because I'm an accidental marketer. I don't have an MBA. When I tell you my background, you're not going to believe that I've ended up where I am. But I was absolutely astounded that scarcity was actually at the foundation of our economic system, and hence the foundation of our marketing methods. And it makes sense when you look at the historical context of how it all arose. And that's really what I outline in the book, so that we can look and go, aha, that's how we got ourselves as a society into this pickle that we're in, where we overconsume, overpollute, and feel poor. You know, and that's the huge irony, because we've gotten into this massive belief in scarcity that has been actually consciously created. And yeah. We've bought into it, and I'm not going to demonize the guys who consciously created it either, because the fact is they're just as scared as anyone else. And people who create systems where they want to persuade, or they want to control, or they want to compete, it may feel like they're aggressive, but that's just a front. The bottom line, at their soul level, they're scared to death.
I agree.
And when people who are more compassionate, maybe more sensitive in or maybe more honest with themselves, who perhaps feel vulnerable in those situations, when they start to see that person in that fearful place, then we no longer have to recoil or fight back or protest. The whole idea is for us to come back to connecting. You said that this is spirit-based. I don't know if it's spiritual. I don't even know if I want to use that word anymore. It is for me. Other people, that may not resonate for them. The thing that does resonate, I think, for everybody is that it's humanity-based.
I love that.
We're human beings.
I like to use the word conscious connection. Because, and I really appreciate what you're saying, that I did not by any means want to demonize these wonderful people who.
No, but some people do. Some people do. When I go give talks, it's kind of like, right. them, the government, the marketers, the corporations, the multinationals, and it's them. And they're not the enemy. We are people. You know, that's what I want to say. There is no enemy. What is at play here is a consciousness that we have built ourselves as a society, and we as a society can create a new paradigm. And
I totally agree. We're going to have to take a quick break and come back and hopefully dig into your background and the journey that led you to these wonderful books. And this philosophy that I think we're both trying to share the same thing, to serve people and get them on a wavelength where they connect instead of transact.
Absolutely.
So you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am with my citizen of the world, Lynn Serafin, and we will be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests, who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
In the last 30 years, over 1 million people have gone from busy and a bit overweight to busy enjoying life, having lost weight using MetaFast products. The Take Shape for Life program has taken that success of MetaFast meals even further with a free certified health coach and a realistic and simple plan. You're not fixing a problem. You're on a journey to optimal health. Learn more. Talk to a health coach and hear their story of success. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness natural food for pets. This is where true wellness begins.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am in dialogue today with best-selling author and transformation coach and conscious marketing specialist Lynn Serafin, who is sharing with us some of her journey, a little bit about her amazing new book that's going to be coming out in the next few months. And if you want to hop into the conversation, please do send us a note at Transformation, www.transformationtalkradio.com, or call in at 1-800-930-2819. Lynn, I'd love to have you share a little bit of your background so that we can just get a sense of the journey that took you to where you are in teaching and coaching and writing the books that you're focused on right now.
Well, part of that I have to say is, you know, the journey physically that I've taken. And I always tell people, they always say to me, where the heck are you from? Because I can't place my accent. And I said, well, I was born in Brooklyn, raised on Long Island, and then I moved to Boston for 3 years, and then I moved down to Texas for 9 years, and then I lived in Arizona for 14 years. Then I lived in India for about a year in Calcutta, studying music and spirituality, and then I moved to England in 1999. So I've been in England here for the last 12 years. I'm a dual citizen. I do consider myself a citizen of the world. I think, you know, on the age of the internet, we start to talk about boundaries, you know, they're just not there. What I hold very dear is the, what I think is my ability to just understand a great many different people in different cultures and relate to people just as people. So that's a big part of who I am. Now, in terms of profession, I started out actually as a classical violinist. I was trained, I was an opera singer and a classical violinist on Long Island as a teenager. I went off to music conservatory, in Boston, and then went down to Texas, started my career in classical music. Performing in a symphony, did all freelance work, I did teaching, and everything was Western classical music. My interest in it started to dry up. I got into world music, and then I went to India, combined that with, you know, my interest in looking more deeply into spirituality, which I was always interested in even as a child. And actually formed a connection, a 20-year connection with a guru there in India. I didn't stay there for 20 years, but I mean, I had an ongoing connection. I was actually his first Western disciple. I got married to my musical partner at that time. We were married for 22 years. We have a grown daughter who's also a best-selling author. I know because I helped launch her book. And then about 10 years ago or so, I quit music cold. And I really talk about that journey a lot in my first book, The Garden of the Soul, because most of my life was a love-hate relationship with music, with organized religion. I wanted a spiritual world that matched what I felt inside, and I couldn't find it, you know. And so it was that kind of love-hate relationship with it. I mean, there was a lot of love, and there was not, I won't say hate, but struggle. And music, definitely, and also my personal relationships and myself. So the book is really about my coming of age in my 50s, because, you know, I'm 56 now. I turned 56 last Friday.
Congratulations. Happy
birthday. Thank you. I think I deserve a medal for being, I think everybody over 50 should get a certificate for being in the half a century club. You know, really. And I'm a grandmother. I have a almost 5-year old grandson. But I left music because I realized it wasn't feeding me anymore. It just wasn't feeding me. And around 2001, my father, with whom I had had a long time, very, very just dysfunctional relationship, in that he had a lot of mental problems. He was very mentally unbalanced, I'll say. I don't know what his actual diagnosis would be. Anybody who knew him knew that he was not a stable person. And his death in 2001, the circumstances around it actually got me into such a state of grief that what happened to me was I went into a really, really dark place. I really went into the shadow. It's like the real dark night of the soul, as they talk about it, if you've ever read that book, which is a wonderful book. And
I'm a big fan of Thomas More.
it's not Thomas More. It's San Juan de la Cruz.
Oh, okay.
Yes, St. John of the Cross.
Well, Thomas More has written an update of it, I think.
Okay, possibly. No, but San Juan de la Cruz, it's a beautiful, mystical, metaphoric journey that actually, if you read it and if you know about Indian mysticism, a lot of the metaphors parallel very closely to some of the Vedic Puranas. It's really very the concept of meeting the lover, and also even Sufism. You know, it's very it parallels mysticism. These all of these mystical paths, the idea of intense love for the divine and having that close connection. I went into that place, and it was such a shadow first. You go so low. I went so low, so low. When I hit the bottom, I realized what came up for me was that I was living in a marriage for 22 years that was very abusive, and I'm talking very serious physical abuse, not just emotional. I mean, emotional abuse is probably the worst. And on top of that, there was very, very heavy, serious physical abuse as well. And I kept it quiet. And I understand so well what battered wife syndrome is. I really understand it, because there is so much self-loathing and self-judgment involved in it. And people wonder why, number one, why don't you leave? Number two, why don't you get help? There's so much complexity in it, in the soul of a person in that situation, whether it's battered wife or abused husband. I just was speaking to a client of mine who had been an abused husband.
Well, any kind of abusive dynamic.
Any kind, whether it's a child or an adult. You get into a place where you want to protect the person you believe you love. That certainly is there. You also get into this place of self-judgment and shame. You don't want anybody to know, because you don't want them to say what an idiot you are, what a this you are, what a blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, talk about being a very fear-based place to be.
Very fear-based.
Right.
But you
broke out of that, because you're in a very different place now. So.
Very much so. And it was a long journey of healing and being, brave enough to go into that shadow. So once I broke out of that mold, it isn't just a matter of leaving an abusive relationship. The work has to start with you. You could leave an abusive relationship and be no better off, really, except that maybe you're not getting bruised. But you may not be any better off, because really it's a form of post-traumatic stress once you leave a situation like that.
At the very core, I mean, as a psychologist, I work with people who have this kind of trauma.
Yes.
All the time, and
yes.
It's at the very core, it's self-abuse.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's healing.
Absolutely.
So it's healing from the inside out. That has to
absolutely.
Happen.
Absolutely. And that's really what the Garden of the Soul is about. It doesn't, there's a lot of memoir in it, but I didn't want it to be just some self-indulgent memoir. That wouldn't have been enough for me. I wanted it to make a point. And I really meditated a lot on how that would manifest. And it just came. It was a gift that was given to me. I mean, some people say, oh, did you channel it? Yeah, if you want to use that word, some of it, yes. But I don't necessarily use that word unless channeling means tapping into that higher self that just speaks fluidly without your brain.
You were obviously open to hearing the message that wanted
absolutely.
To come through.
Absolutely. And I'm always
however
hearing.
That comes, right?
That's right. Whatever word you want to apply to it. But the story of the Garden of the Soul is, you mentioned the title before. The subtitle is Lessons from Four Flowers That Unearth the Self. And the cornerstone of the book are these four flowers. And the four flowers are metaphors for really archetypes of ourselves. And the four principles, I call them principles, you can call them archetypes. The four principles are giving, receiving, becoming, and being.
I love that.
And, you know, and we could do a whole show on those. I won't today because we're talking about lots of other things. But I do transformation workshops on how to feel these four energies and how to feel their balance, how to feel when they're stuck, how to unlock them, how to recognize when you're craving them, when your life is so desirous and so in need of these things. And really when these four energies are flowing and in balance and you're just kind of riding the surfboard of life with these, you know, waves coming up and down, you take all of those waves in such a different way from how you did in the past, at least speaking for myself.
Right.
I now know that I can balance, I can enjoy the rockiness. It doesn't mean I never get hurt, but it means that when I get hurt, I can explore the hurt, I can embrace the hurt, and I can know that it's telling me, this hurt is a message to me of something that my soul wants, something that will help me come closer to who I really am, something that will bring me home to me.
I love that. Yeah, that's great.
That's,
I love what you're saying because it's very, very much aligned with my book. When I wrote Shift, Let Go of Fear and Get Your Life in Gear, the very core theme for me personally was learning that on the other side, that pain and fear are really right next to joy and self-expression.
Absolutely.
And that they're really two sides of the same coin, and that as
yes.
you go into the pain, rather than run away from it, the messages of your true potential, of your true passion, and of your true purpose start to actually filter through.
Absolutely.
And that is, in fact, the creative energy. So
absolutely.
I think, yeah, we're very much aligned around that.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have to take another quick break. And when we do, let's come back and transition to this idea of supporting people in moving through this fear and shifting into that conscious connection with others, because a lot of what takes us out of that negative energy and then makes us into successful business people in this new paradigm, I think, is being able to reach out and connect in loving and listening ways to other people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's
so
a great
you're
topic.
Listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am in dialogue today with best-selling author Lynn Serafin, and we will be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching learning from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their trials. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit OpenLiveNow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic now.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I'm in dialogue today with Lynn Serafin, who is a transformation coach and a best-selling author. She's been sharing with us her journey to the writing that led up to the writing of her book called The Garden of the Soul, Lessons from Four Flowers That Unearth the Self. And Lynn, you were just sharing with us this transformation process, the dark night of the soul that you went through, and you've obviously come through kind of in blazing colors and, you know, and now are sharing your story and your passion and creativity in support of a lot of other people, I think, who are looking to not only get their word, their story out into the world, but looking to do business and to be entrepreneurs in kind of a new paradigm way. So share with us a little bit about how you made that transition and the kind of work that you're currently doing.
Yeah, that's kind of where, when I said earlier in the show, I kind of became the accidental marketer. When Garden of the Soul came out, I hadn't a clue how to promote it, but because I was, had been a freelance musician for so many years, and I had my own recording studio and, record label, I mean, with my former husband, I didn't realize at the time, I wasn't thinking, I've always been a marketer, but I didn't know it. I really didn't know it. It never sank in my mind because I had this image that marketing is bad and, you know, and art is pure and all this stuff that,
well, that's
lies.
The dilemma. I mean, you're touching on the core dilemma, right? That,
well,
that
it's we the want dilemma.
To get our, we want to get our message out in the world, but I think those of us that are trying to do things in a different way are not comfortable with self-promotion and publicity and trying to be the center of attention and all of that.
And
so
how do you
help your clients overcome that?
Well, yes, and the irony is that, you know, musicians and artists and authors, they all want to be the center of attention. I mean, they actually want to get a contract. They want to sell millions of books or records. So they actually do want to be the center of attention. So that's
But when I work with artists, they struggle with that.
They do. Indeed, they do. And so there's that, again, there's this fighting against their natural self. So it's back to that fear thing. What happened with me was that I was determined to figure out a way to sell the book. So I attended every seminar I could possibly attend. I bought every course, every book, everything I could do. I was already very technological because by that time I was an electronic musician. Ran a trance and ambient studio, and I knew electronics coming out of my ears. I taught music technology for years in London. And I got really into the social networks, and I created my own campaign pretty much based upon collaboration and relationship building, all those things that you were talking about before. Mm-hmm. And some real big challenges came that challenged those relationships. I won't go into the whole story now because of limited time, but I really learned the importance of building strong relationships in the process of developing that book. Anyway, the book came out, it was self-published. The book came out and it made bestseller lists on Amazon, not New York Times bestseller, but Amazon. And it got the attention of people, said, how, you're self-published, you did that by yourself, how did you do that? And people started asking me to write articles for their blogs on how I did it. I, in the beginning, was very resentful. How come they're not asking about my book? Oh, boo-hoo me. I was really feeling sorry for myself, thinking, ooh, all they're interested, all they want is my secrets, all they want. And I was feeling very, confused. And then I started to get into it, and I said, actually, I know a lot about this. So I wrote one particular article on that a fellow on Twitter tweeted the heck out of. He just tweeted about it several times a day and then once a day for weeks. And then all of a sudden, a woman named Allison Maslin contacted me and said, hi, on Twitter. You know, hi, can I talk to you about being your client? I go, okay. And we talk on Skype, and she says, I want you to do exactly what you did. I want to hire you to do exactly what you did. I have a book coming out through a publisher, not self-published. And I said, really? I said, okay. And I had no system. I didn't know. She said, I want you to do just what you did. I said, no, you don't. I didn't hit number one. you don't want me to do that. You want to hit number one. I have to do something better than that. And so I worked with her for about 6 months, and her book went to number one. And this was about a year ago. Somebody else saw that.
I wish I had had you back in April when my book came out.
Well, call me next time. Call me next time. What happened after that is one after the other, more and more and more people started asking me. At the end of 2010, I had launched 7 books. 4 of them hit number one. All of the others hit in the top 6. You know, and so I've got the system now, and now I have a company where I started out by just coaching people, showing them how to do it, working with their VAs and things like that. I don't do that anymore. Now I have a company. I have a staff of people working. They're outsourced people from all over the world. I have somebody in Australia, somebody in Colombia, people in States, people here in Britain working for me who I've trained in how I do this. And each of them has, you know, I have a webmaster and I have different VAs. Some do media tours, some do blog tours. And we put all of this together, all of our skills together, and I create the copy and I find networkers. My campaigns now reach, you know, it was certainly in excess of 1 million people per campaign. I'm, in March, I'm launching, now I'm getting more known, authors and more known publishers. I'm launching, the book by, Dr. Roy Martina, called Emotional Balance, which is from Hay House. So I still work with self-published authors, but now I'm getting people from major publishers. I have a couple of, I'm booked all the way through like July right now.
So tell us,
I have somebody next March too.
What are the keys then? So, I mean, obviously you've had a lot of success and something's clearly working and you've tapped into the magic of the social media. But talk to me about the way you do this in a way that is not, you know, going circling back around to my original premise.
Absolutely.
I think this, you know, we're still struggling with this paradox, which is that, yes, you can reach millions of people, and I think that's great. And, you know, I did a lot of that with my book, and we had a lot of success and on Facebook and everything. And I'm a big fan of these capabilities, but I'm curious, what are your tips or magical principles for keeping things in a way that people feel, consciously connected to the process and to each other?
You know, it's really going to be tough in 15 minutes to tell everything, but the paradigm, the basic paradigm, in the book that's coming up, the new book that's coming up, and you asked me in the break, is it out yet? No, it's coming out in June. The only thing that will keep it from coming out in June is if my agent actually lands me a really juicy contract, and then I'll wait if he lands it. Because if he lands it, it probably won't come out until a few months later, because publishers usually need a 6-month lead-in time. But if he doesn't, I'm going self-published again. This book is coming out. So the paradigm in Seven Graces of Marketing, I actually show the seven deadly sins of marketing, and I could have called it that, but I wanted it to be something positive.
Right.
So
I show the
parallel between them, and when the seven deadly sins of marketing, if you look at them and you really see them, you start to feel a real sense of low energy and grief over where, you know, how we brought ourselves to this place. And I do.
Well, it gets back to your theme of the earlier when you talked about the idea of being fear. It's very fear-based and very, very scarcity-oriented.
It's very fear-based. And I don't put fear as one of the seven deadly sins of marketing, because actually fear is kind of the energy that pervades them all.
All of them, right.
And what I was surprised in my, what actually propelled me to write this book was I was sitting in, I don't think you guys have Nando's in the United States, do you? Do you have Nando's over there? It's like this Portuguese fast food place there. You can get these lovely veggie pizzas. But anyway, I was sitting in Nando's one day, and I had just finished a workshop, and everybody was all in anxiety over the economic crisis, so-called economic crisis. And I was meditating on the fact that I hadn't, and I talk about this in the book, that I hadn't been in anxiety for 2 years. And the only thing I could figure is that I didn't have a television anymore. And my television had blown. It's true. Yeah. My TV had blown up in February of 2008. And I was not worried about money. Furthermore, my economic situation improved vastly while everybody else was really in anxiety all the time, in fear all the time. So I was thinking about this, and as I'm sitting there, you talk about synchronicities, as I'm sitting there thinking about this, behind me are two lads, maybe about 20, 21 years old, and they're speaking very animatedly with each other. They sound like they've just come back from some kind of business seminar, yeah, on a Sunday afternoon. This is like a weekend seminar. And the one guy's saying to the other one, he's saying, you know, this is going to, you know, we're going to make so much money. This is it. It's so great. All we have to do is remember three, of course, they didn't say it in this accent. This is in England. You know, this, all we have to remember is three things: fear, sex, and humor. What? And he goes
it.
On and talking about that. This is the paradigm for marketing. I go, what? And they were taught this.
It's pretty darn accurate, actually.
Well, actually, Jeff, I went and I researched this, and I said, this is actually a model for marketing. And I'm going, oh my God, it's not just my imagination. And so I said, I need to look further into this.
Yeah.
So fear, sex, and humor.
I'm going to have to stop you, Lynn, but this is a perfect moment to take a break, because I know when we come back, you're going to transition.
You're going to hear the paradigm.
Just something else besides fear.
You're going to hear it. You're going to hear the paradigm. Yeah.
So you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we will be right back.
Why Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we're talking today with Lynn Serafin, the best-selling author of The Garden of the Soul, Lessons from Four Flowers That Unearth the Self. And Lynn is not only a coach and a writer and a musician, but she's also embarked on a business where she's really helping to transform the way we market our art, our books, our writing, and our message to the world. And we only have a few more minutes with Lynn, and I really want to take advantage of that to get her wisdom on how we make this transformation. So Lynn, jump in here. You left us breathless at the break with sort of the old paradigm, which I totally get. And I think you're trying to shift the parameters for people. Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
Well, first tell me how much time do I have? Because I want to make sure I get it.
We have about five more minutes or so.
Great. Okay. So then this is going to be the whirlwind tour.
we'll have you back.
Yeah. Great. Well, when the book comes out, I'll talk only about that. I'm not going to go into the whole old paradigm. I'll mention the seven deadly sins. I mention them in the book in great detail. And I say they're disconnection, persuasion, invasion, which is what you were describing in the beginning of the talk today. Invasion, right. Distraction, deception, scarcity, and competition. And yep. These are things I talk about in great detail in the book. These are actually very harmful to us as human beings, as a society, as a community, as and harmful to our planet. And this is really what I discuss in the book. The counterpart, the antidote to these things, obviously, are the following. The seven graces of marketing, at least in my book, are connection, inspiration, invitation, directness, transparency, abundance, and collaboration. And, you know, just briefly, since we have very little time, connection is not just, you know, oh, I'm connecting with you, I'm talking with you, and this and this, and I'm interacting. That's a start. It's a deep-rooted, fundamental belief that we are connected. It's not just headspace. It's not just lip service. It's really getting it that we're not just connected to each other. We're connected to this ecosystem we call our planet. When we feel connected to another being, another planet, another entity, another whatever energy around us, we cannot exploit it. When we cannot exploit, we create no imbalance. And so connection's at the foundation of all of these things. When you market, if you're not, and I discuss the what I call the five key relationships, the first one is self. Connection to self. That has to be there. Relationship with yourself. Relationship with, the second is relationship with others. Certainly your clients, your customers, people around you. What's your relationship with them? Is it respectful? Is it honoring? Is it embracing? Is it loving? Is it caring? Or is it exploiting? You know, that relationship is key. The next is your relationship with your business. Are you connected to it in a passionate level? Are you loving it? Are you living it? Is it your legacy? Is it what you want to leave the world? Two more are the connection with source, with the planet is probably the biggest one. And that's really where I want to go in the bigger picture of my life. It's not just about marketing. It's about really helping people realize that they're connected to this source. And that's the fourth relationship. And the fifth is your relationship with marketing. If you're a business person and you don't understand that marketing is simply the means of communicating that you have something of value, then you're not going to get it. If you think that it's a way of making sales, you're not going to get it. That's right. Not what it is. So connection is the first.
I love that, because what you're saying takes us right back to the beginning of this show when, you know, at the core of the disconnect, to use that word, that I experienced this week with these people that were networking with me, is that they were unaware of my desire to help them and to be helped. You know, at the core, I was right there in front of them. I'm a human being and they're a human being, and they wanted to help me, and I was more than willing to help them. Mm-hmm. But the space that got created in between us was really more about, you know, can I follow up to sell you something?
Exactly.
And that just, you know, the transaction then tears apart the humanity. When
Absolutely.
It's so simple, what you're pointing to is really not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's just
not.
Asking and listening and connecting and being with.
And Jeffrey, it can be scary. It can be scary. It's as scary as this. Today I was walking down the street and there's a woman who's kind of caught my, you know, she's walking towards me and I'm walking towards her. And she, you know how like you kind of gaze mindlessly, and our eyes kind of met. And I smiled, and she looked away. And that's the fear. That's the fear that people encounter every day. How many times do we do this? If we do this on that, where we cannot smile or say hello or good morning or whatever, if we're doing it on that level, think about when it comes to things as, you know, with business, where we have it in our minds, again, that scarcity is there. Therefore, we're in survival mode. So if we feel disconnected rather than collaborative with each other and we're in survival mode, we're going to do everything in our power to survive over and above the other person. And you know you know where that leaves us? Alone. And that when it leaves us alone, we feel more afraid. So we become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's really the bigger message. There's so much more, and you're running out of time.
And the good news though is that we can transform that in a moment, in a microsecond. You can transform
Absolutely.
That. And that's my message for today. And I know that it's your message in your book, which is when you do see someone, when you do want to share your business, your passion, ask them who they are. Ask them and get their opportunity to create a connection where you can help them and they can help you.
One last thing I would leave. If you want to be a great receiver, and I say this in the Garden of the Soul too, if you want to be a great receiver, like you want to really receive, you got to be an even better giver.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And vice versa. If you want to be a great giver, people who think they give, you have to learn to be a wonderful receiver.
Well said. Well said. Lynn, before we let you go, I want your contact information. So anyone who wants to follow up with you, track you down and get your books, what's the best way to reach you?
Well, my book, Garden of the Soul, is on Amazon. The other book will not be out until June. But the best way to stay in touch with me is via my Spirit Authors site. It's spiritauthors.com. There's actually a course on there that can help people create their online platform if they like, or just subscribe to the blog because I give away lots and lots of tips. But if they want to contact me directly, if they go to spiritauthors.com there and click the tab that says contact, there's a contact form if they want to have,
great.
If they want to have a consultation or anything. That's the best way to reach me.
I love it. Well, I am thrilled to have you here. I appreciate your calling in from England and sharing with us your wisdom of the new paradigm that we can be connected and abundant. And I want to wish this book of yours out into the world as quickly as possible so that I can have you back for more conversation.
Yummy.
Great week. I love this conversation. I want to wish you all the best. Everyone, have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week. Take care.